And the first time I met Pastor Ganesh, we were in a restaurant and I fell asleep on him. I was absolutely exhausted from the trip and everything that we were doing that I fell asleep on him. Later on, I saw some videos of Pastor Ganesh out in the streets and of Mumbai and surrounded by crowds on the back of a truck preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the folks in India. And I thought, my goodness, I'm impressed. And then just here recently, I saw another video of this man preaching in rain in Harrisonville, Missouri Park, preaching the gospel. So let's please give this man a good, warm welcome from HBF. Ganesh, come on up.
So my privilege to stand before you this morning, and I am so blessed by your beautiful faces. And I believe the joy of the Lord is our strength, and Christ's presence is here this morning through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for welcoming me and giving me a privilege to come to your church. And I believe this is the church which I appreciate and which I have like a high regards for this, because you people are godly people. You people are the one whom God has chosen out of this world to be the part of his body. And I am so privileged to come to USA and fellowship with you. And I feel so glad to be here this morning. I will not take much more time about you, but I want to just show that the work which we do in India, by God's grace, and I want to show some slides to you, which me and my family and my team members, we go to the slums in Mumbai, towards the north of the Mumbai, where there is a lot of slum, 600,000 people living in that slum, and they are like very poorest of poor people. And we go them and we share the love of Christ with them, because Jesus Christ is the only Savior in this world. And we want to share his message, because five times before his ascension, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And every person's need is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next slide, please. This is me and my beautiful family. My daughter Shikhaina, she is in the nursing now, and Angelina, and my wife Sindhu, and we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe that God has called us to serve him. And next. Okay, this is my beautiful wife and me. This is the man who is a great inspiration to me. I met him 2000. You all of know him. I met him 2008, and I was very impressed by his life, that he has such a love and burden and concern and tender heart for those people living in the slum. So he and me co-labored together, and we planted three churches in the slum. And you know Pastor Douglas and his beautiful wife, Bethany. This is the man next to me on my left hand. He's my assistant pastor, and he's going to get married with a girl which is next to my wife. And in India, there is a heavy casteism. This girl gave her life to Jesus Christ. This man gave her life to Jesus Christ, but their parents are Hindu. Their parents are very against their marriage. But we are praying for them. I request you also pray for them. And he's my assistant pastor. 4 years, he studied the Bible, and he's a beautiful preacher. So pray for that in future they will get married. Because a lot of opposition from the parents and from the girls. This is my team, members. Without the team, we cannot do any work. Jesus has his 12 disciples. And I also have, by God's grace, 12 people in my team. Which I don't call them my disciples. I call them Jesus' disciple. Okay, this is the ladies' ministry. We have the ladies. You all do here. We have the ladies' time, ladies' ministry, where ladies can preach, ladies can teach. And my wife, other ladies, they're doing this ministry in the slum. And this is the, we have five churches now by God's grace, and they all are 100 kilometers from each church. And Sunday is the day we want, this is the day that we worship the Lord. The Sunday we worship because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and Sabbath is not the worship day. Sunday is the first day of the week. So we were praying that all those people which we planted the churches, we want to bring them together. And we were praying for the van, and some of the people help us to get this van so that people can bring to the church. And this is the new church we start in a district called Palghar, which is 150 kilometers from where we live. And we go every Friday morning from 11 to 1, and we have a church service. 15, 20 people are coming. Just newly two months before, we started this fifth church. And all people come from the slum, and we worship the Lord there. Yeah, it's the same people from every background. And this is the Nala Sopara church which we planted, me and Pastor Douglas, in the year 2010 in the slum. And this is our Sunday school ministry. One of our young man from our church and all the Sunday school children, and he teaches them the Bible. This is me and my wife leading. My wife leading to the ladies, ministering to the ladies. And this is our second church. It's called Gaurai Pada Church. And there, so many people coming to our church. We have a very small place. Now, I want you to pray for the place, because we have so many people and we have a very short place. So pray that God will help us to build a small structure where we can accommodate all these five churches, people every Sunday, and they will worship together. At present, these five churches, this is our Friday night ministry. Our children's from the Friday church, one of our young men is teaching them. And the other, yeah, okay. And this is our third church, is called Sativali Church. And there also we have these people, Sativali Church. This is the Pellar Church, which is a very big village there. People are living in the village, and we go and we planted this church. It's called Pellar Church, and we worship there every Wednesday evening. We have printed 20,000 gospel tracts, so we can go house to house, and distribute the tract and share the word of God. And this is the Bible study in the slum. We go and we share the word of God in the slum. Bible study in the slum. Bible study. And this is the place where we are homeless people. They are dung workers. So they have this home, little home made up of the paper and plastic. And we go there, me and my wife, and we share the love of Christ to them. And this is evangelism. We do the street evangelism. We go on the street and talk to people, because we have the message to share to them. And then not only we share the gospel, we save the soul, but also we baptize them, because Great Commission is go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, and many times, see, I don't know, but one thing I can be sure, God has called me. Not only to the slum, but every walk of life. So I have a privilege to preach in Mumbai around 110 police people, the traffic police, because in Mumbai, every year, 300,000 people are dying in the traffic. And we have the burden for them because these policemen, God died, Jesus died for them. He loves them and he wants to save them. So we call them in the church and I preach the word of God to them in the evangelistic. And on the streets, wherever there is a street, on the during the Good Friday and the Christmas, and the Hindu people, Muslim people, Sikh, every religion, because we have the message to tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save them. And if we don't tell them, then God will hold us responsible. That's why I feel that privilege that wherever the people are gathered, I want to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And these Hindu people, they're listening. And then on the streets, people are standing on the street and then listening the gospel of Jesus Christ in the moving stationary truck. So wherever there is a, these are the policemen we have invited to our church and we share the gospel. And then after, at the end, I call them, if you want to truly be saved and if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come forward. And they came and they gave their life to Christ. And this is the fireman in Mumbai. Every week there is a fire everywhere. Many people died. Some of the firemen also losing their life. So we all call the we call all the firemen and we share the gospel with them because they save people from the fire. But who will save them from the eternal fire, eternal hell? And that's why only Jesus Christ can. And that's why we call them and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And then this is our, we have one thing I found out. The secret of every ministry is the prayer. And in our church, we have a whole night prayer once in a month. And our people comes, regular 10, 15 people come. And they pray from 10 in the night, 6 in the morning. And believe me, and we all praying for you also. Because we know there is no greater power than the power of prayer in the world that can change man's life. This is our team. Without the team, I cannot do any work. Jesus Christ has a team. This church has a team of beautiful pastors. And these are three men. These three men we are praying for. See, now all this, our team, they do work during the work. During the day they work. Evening they come for the ministry. But I am praying for these three men that they can go full time. So I can take them with me and go to the villages, take the our van, distribute the tracts, go to every house and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Christ's coming is very near and he wants from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, he wants the people to be the part of his bride. How many believe that? Yes. And that's why we are praying for this man that they will go full time. So you also pray for them that God will support their need. Thank you very much. And this was the, my presentation. Now, can I share the word?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I want you to just stand up for 1 minute and tell your neighbors, you are not here accidentally. God brought you here. Okay. Okay, you can sit down. Sit down. Sit. Please, please. So, before we go to the Word of God, I heard of, I came from a, such a background where my English was no English, and I was a Buddhist before I became a believer in Christ, and in my village, my people, no one speak English. But I, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he was very faithful to me. He is still faithful to me, and he will still faithful. He will be faithful to me all my life. So when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I began, he gave me some gifts, and I think one of the gifts that I can speak English. So you understand my accent? You understand my English? Okay, good. So because in India, there are many people, they cannot speak English, but they are in the politics, they are in the policy, they are ruling in India, and many of them don't know the English. So what happened one day, one of the minister from India, he was the external affairs minister from the government of India, he came to America, and he has an appointment with the President Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was in those days president of America. So this minister from India, he came, and he cannot speak English. His English was no English, but he has an interpreter with him, his assistant. So his assistant said, "Sir, when you go to the White House, just say to President Clinton, 'Hello, Mr. Clinton, how are you?'" And Mr. Clinton will say, "I am fine." And you say, "I too." And that's all you have to say. Rest of the conversation, I will take care of. So this minister was very happy. He was in the big hotel. And the early morning, he's going to the White House. And he reached to the White House in a big limousine. And there Mr. Clinton, along with his aides, was waiting to welcome him. And this man was practicing, "Hello, Mr. Clinton, how are you?" Mr. Clinton will say, "I am fine, and I just have to say, I too." And the rest of the conversation will take care of my assistant. So he was practicing and practicing. His English was no English, but only, "Hello, Mr. Clinton, how are you?" And Clinton will say, "I am fine, and I just have to say him, I too." So he practiced and practiced and practiced, and finally he reached to the White House. There Mr. Clinton was waiting along with his aides. So he got down his limousine and went to him and, "Hello, Mr. Clinton, who are you?" Mr. Clinton was puzzled little while. And he said, "I am the husband of Hillary Clinton." And he said, "I too." Now, this was just to make a laugh to you. But let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 16 to 20. And for a short time, I just want to read only one verse, which I want to speak on. And he closed the book, verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now the background of this, Jesus went to the synagogue as the according to Jewish custom, he went to the synagogue, and there a man gave him a book, and it was the scroll of Isaiah, and he opened the book, and he read from the Isaiah, and then he closed the book and gave it to that minister, and then he sat down. And this Bible says, people that were in the synagogue, all their eyes were fastened on Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, let today, this morning, you fasten your eyes on Jesus Christ. This ministry, I am so proud of this ministry, because this ministry has a love for the scripture, this Bible. And the Bible is the only word of God that is given to man by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I studied the Bible, I found the very one great truth. Probably many of you never heard this truth. Last time when I was here, I had a privilege to go to North Carolina, Charlotte, to visit Billy Graham Center. I saw many of those museum and all of his things were there. And his pulpit was there, his books and his degrees and all that is he has. And everything was there. And one, as I was watching everything, one place that touched my heart, and I was just like looking at, and that was the big table where he was sitting and preparing those sermons and praying. And I just wanted to take some photos. So I took some photos. I went in. I went to my place, and we have some carpenters in the church. I told them, I want to make same like this. And they do it. And it's so helpful. I believe every pastor should have a study table where he can study this word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved to God. The workman need not to be ashamed. And we have to rightly divide the word of truth. So I found out in the scripture, there are 27 books in the New Testament. 27 books in the New Testament and 39 books are in the Old Testament. So out of that 27 books, 23 books, the first chapter and the first verse talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. 23 books of the New Testament, the first chapter and the first verse talks about Jesus Christ. Start with Jesus Christ. Only 4 books, that doesn't, first verse and the first chapter does not speak about Jesus Christ. And let me tell you those 4 books. Luke, Gospel of Luke, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, 2 John, and 3 John. Only 4 books, the first chapter and the first verse does not mention the name Jesus Christ, but 23 books of the New Testament, the first verse and the first chapter talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking, these gospel writers, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter and James and Jude, and all these gospel writers, why they, the first verse and the first chapter, why they mention about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know why? Because he wanted, God wanted, that Christ should be the first in our life. If Christ is the first, then you have answers to your every problem. Everything we do, Jesus Christ must be the first. He must be the first in your family. You know, the family that worship the Lord, that prays together, stays together. He must be the first in our job. When you go to the job to do any work, let Jesus Christ be the first. You are the representative of Jesus Christ to them. Those people whom you work, they are not accidentally put there. They are put by God so you can tell them about Jesus. He must be the first in our music. Beautiful songs you were singing this morning. My heart was so stirred. He must be the first in the preaching. He must be the first in our Sunday school, and he must be the first in our school. Everything we do, Jesus Christ ought to be the first. When you put the first Jesus Christ, whatever the need you have, whatever the problem you have, they become secondary, and you have the answers for that. Because when your eyes are upon Jesus, Jesus is the big for you. But if you turn your eyes and put your eyes on the problems you have a mountain, it looks like a big problem, and Jesus for you looks like a little. So my dear friends, 23 books in the New Testament, the first verse and the first chapter talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. Matthew, the theme of the Matthew's gospel is the Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. But it starts with the Lord, the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark, the theme of the Mark gospel is Jesus Christ is the suffering servant. But it starts with this. It starts with this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John, the theme of the Gospel of John is the Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, but it starts, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. That Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Acts, the theme of the book of the Acts is the power of the church in Acts and of Apostle. But the first verse and the first chapter, it says that Jesus Christ began both to do and to teach. Romans, the theme of the book of Romans is Paul shows Jesus as the gospel of Christ. But the first chapter and the first verse of the Romans is Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. Corinthians, the theme of the Corinthians is restoration of the carnal nature. But first verse and the first chapter, it says that Jesus Christ, Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Galatians, the theme of the Galatians is vindication of the gospel of grace of God. But the first verse and the first chapter, Paul the apostle by the Jesus Christ and of the Father. Ephesians, the theme of the Ephesians is the highest church truth. But the first chapter and the first verse start with Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Philippians, the theme of the Philippians is the being our sufficiency. But the first verse and the first chapter of Philippians talks about Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ. Colossians, the theme of the Colossians is warning of the church in all days. But the first verse and the first chapter of Colossians start with Apostle Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Thessalonians, the theme of the Thessalonians is Jesus Christ, our coming Savior. But the first verse and the first chapter start with exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, the theme of the Timothy is being glorious appearing of Christ. But the first verse and first chapter of the Timothy is Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus, the theme of the Titus is the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed hope. But the first chapter and the first verse start as Paul, the servant of God and the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon, the theme of the Philemon is the one who forgives the straying servant. But the first verse and the first chapter of the Philemon is the Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. James, the theme of the James is Christ. Christ is the restorer of the carnal nature and the fulfiller of the law. But it starts as first verse and the first chapter in the James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, the theme of the Peter is the foundation is Christ and the rock of our salvation. But the first verse and the first chapter, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. First John, the theme of the First John is Christ being an assurance of our salvation. But first verse and the first chapter talks about the word of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, the theme of the Jude is contending for the faith. But the first verse of first chapter of Jude is the Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Revelation, the theme of the Revelation is our coming King of King and a Lord of Lord. But first chapter and the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. 23 books I have put before you talks about the first verse and the first chapter, Jesus Christ. If the Bible gives the first place and first chapter and the first place to Jesus Christ, how much more in our Christian life we should give him the first place in our Christian life. This shows that Jesus Christ ought to be the very biggest thing in our life. Whether our home or business or job or church, wherever you go, put Jesus Christ first because he deserves it. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the need of every people. Whether people live in America or as you've seen in India we have 1.30 billion people. We have many, many religions that your country never have. We have many, many gods and goddesses. That 32 million goddesses. It says that in the year 2025, our Indian population will be as equal with China. But I want to tell you, the more population we have, the more gods we have, and more problems we have. Why? Because all these gods and goddesses, they are corrupt. So more corruption in India. And India's need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like America has the need of Jesus Christ, India and America, Japan, China, every face of the earth the people are, their need is the Lord Jesus Christ. 23 books of the Bible, first verse and the first chapter, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We read in the newspaper and you will find that It does not matter who the people are. It does not matter where the nation was. It does not matter what the circumstances were. The need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the need of America is? America needs Jesus. A man, 32 years back, he came to me from America. I was a Buddhist. He gave me a gospel tract and said, "Who do you think Jesus is?" I rejected it. But I was frustrated in my life. I was sad and so much of problems. The next day I went to him and said, "Sir, please tell me about Jesus Christ." And he shared the gospel with me. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from then on, all the burden has gone. From then on, the joy and the peace and the happiness is coming to my life. And that assurance I have tonight, even if I die tonight, I'll be in the presence of God. Not because I deserve it, but because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me from sin, hell, death, and judgment. I am going to heaven by his grace and his mercy, because he's a God of love. And he loves America. And this is my second time. The first time I came to America, I had a privilege to go to the White House. Not inside the White House, but in front of the White House. And there were a lot of foreigners were there. And I said, "What that keep me shut my mouth? No one can shut my mouth. Because I have the message to tell every people of this world that their need is the Lord Jesus Christ." So I stood up and I began to preach the Bible in my hand. And there were so many people there listening. Why? Every man is created by God in the image of God, and every man has a need. And without Jesus Christ, man is empty. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man? He has everything of this world, but he loses his soul." A soul that made in the image of God is going to live forever and ever and ever, either in the hell or in the heaven. And only Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he saves us from sin, hell, death, and judgment. That's why every man's need is the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes to our heart and all our problems, it's become easy because we are not solving our problem on our own. He's with us. And he will help us to change our dirty lives. He will help us to change our nation. And he will help us. Jesus Christ is the need of Germany, Japan, Russia, China. And it does not matter who you are. I want to tell you this morning, with the authority of this book, your need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this church, beautiful church, and I'm so proud of this church. I am so glad this is my second time to come and to speak before you. And this is the church has been built around the person of Jesus Christ. You have a great godly man here, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Brian. They have been handpicked by God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this church has these men, God anointed by the Spirit of God, and they exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me," in John 12:32. Billy Sunday said this. Billy Sunday, God has raised centuries ago. In 1935, Billy Sunday said this thing. Listen to this. "I hate botany, but I love flowers. I hate zoology, but I love animal. I hate theology, but I love God." And isn't it we all love God? If you love God, give him the big clap offering. What the world need is today is the simple exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why 23 books of this Bible, first verse and the first chapter, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "The simplicity that is in Christ." Simplicity that is in Christ. The church has the great love for the Word of God. You print more Bible. I saw the last time I came, you print more Bible. And you know this Bible, only in the world there are 544 religious books. And none of them is inspired by God except the Bible. Bible is the Word of God. God speak to us. One man say, oh, God, speak to me. And God stretch forth his hand and say, take, this is the Bible, I speak to you. When we read the Bible, God speak to us through his word. When we come to the church, God speak to us through the man of God who is enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Bible is the only book, and I am so proud of you. You have been printing this word of God because Jesus said, heaven and the earth will pass away. This book will never pass away. This is the book God has given to us centuries. If God spare the word, this book is going to live again for 1,000 years, if God spare the word. This book has been from 2,000 years, is given to us. Many people have tried to burn the Bible. They themselves be burned, but Bible still has. This book, D.L. Moody says, either the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. I believe all my heart there are three things. It is never going to be destroyed. They are never going to be have any end. That is first the God. God is from eternal to eternal, eternity. Second is the man. Man is created by God to live forever. Death is not our end. Death is only the body which is made from the dust, goes to the dust. But our soul is living forever and forever, either in the hell or in the heaven. Every man has to make choice in this planet. And third thing, this is word of God. The Jesus said, Psalm said, Psalm 138 and verse 2 says, even God himself exalt his word above his name. Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone. He will live by every word that comes mouth of God. This is the word. And thank God for this ministry. You have been printed many more Bible. I tell you, Christ's imminence coming is very near. And we are all going to go out of this world. And that first remain for the people is this word. The printed page. And maybe they can read and they can save. This church is doing the great job. This is the church has a great love for the word of God. I believe all my heart. A precious word of God. You hear the word of God preached by the man of God, Pastor Brian. I am so proud and I am so glad he's my best friend. You have gathered around the world every Sunday, I heard that there is a Bible class. And you are gathered around the word. You hear the word. The more you hear the word, the more faith you will have. Jesus said, if you have just a faith like a mustard seed, you will move the mountains. When we hear the word, the more word, how much our faith will grow. How much a great thing God can do through you. So this is the word you all gather around. And let me tell you this Sunday and every Sunday and every Bible class, when you gather around the world. And God, you gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, Jesus Christ is every page of the Bible. Every page of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't gather around the world. You gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is my privilege to tell you. Colossians 1:18 says, Paul said that in all things, Jesus Christ have preeminence. You understand my English? Do you have the difficult to understand? Please raise your hand. Because many, this lady has, okay, I will slow down. Okay. Read the Bible like a love story. Don't read it just like any other book. Read it as just you love this word. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ mentioned 23 books of the Bible, the first verse and the first chapter. Do you know, I am so glad, you have this, it's called life issues. People have the problem with drug addicts, the problem with so much that the Satan wants to destroy their life. The alcoholics, fallen man needs Jesus. These dope addicts need Jesus. Only Jesus can change their life. Nobody in the world, no religion has the power in my country. Many, many religion, but no religion has power to change man's life because man is created by God and only God can solve his problem. And that's why I tell you this, what you are doing with the life issue is the best thing in the world because those people's problem, yesterday I met Sister Diana's home, some of the people, their life got changed. This brother, Steve Fleshman, has introduced me to some of the people. They were drug addicts. They were, but Christ has come into their life and they changed their life. Jesus is their need. And we have to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, John, Paul, James, Peter, Jude, all of them exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to put Jesus first in our school, in our work, in our home, and in our personal life. Do you know? If you have a marital problem, if Jesus is your first, if you lift up the Jesus, if Jesus is first in your life, your marital problem will have it will solve very fast. You have a family problem, put Jesus first, and your family problem will solve. If you have a job problem, put Jesus first, and your job problem will solve. You have a financial problem, put Jesus first. He has promised in the Bible, Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your need. God knows the need. Your neighbor don't know your need. God knows the need. When you first put Jesus in your life, he has promised that he will never supply your greeds, because greed is a sin, but God has promised that he will supply your need. And when he promises, he keep the promise. One of the reason I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because whatever he said, he did it. He said, love your enemy, and he did it by showing the example when he was on the cross. All these people were saying, he save others and he cannot save himself. Everybody was mocking him, and they beat him, and they put the crown of thorn upon him. They lashed his back. And from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I believe in Jesus because whatever he spoke, he did it. And he can do it for you in your life also. God wants the first day of the week, Sunday, you go to calendar and you see, I thought that in my country is the only calendar, but in your country I saw the calendar, and the calendar, the Sunday is the day first. First day of the week is Sunday, and Sunday is the day of worship. If you have any work to do on Sunday, just say, I tell my people in the church, if your boss is not allowing you to come to church on Sunday, tell him, I am going to the church and I will pray for you. And if you don't allow me, I will pray that your business will stop. And he said, no, go church and come there. Why? Because Sunday is the day we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. On the Good Friday, he died on the cross to take all our sins on the cross. And Friday evening, he was buried. And Saturday, he was in the grave. Sunday, and very early morning on Sunday, he rose again. And he's alive. And we worship him on Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. And he's given to us so that we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Sunday is not the Sabbath. A Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Colossians 2 says, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he nailed the Sabbath on the cross. Now Jesus is our rest and he is our Sabbath. Sabbath was pointing to Jesus Christ. Sabbath, according to Jews, is the Saturday, which is the last day. Who wants to give last day to Jesus? Give your first day of the week to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come every Sunday. No matter whatever you have, I tell my people in the church, no matter what is, Satan is always want people. And in America, I read in the newspaper that Saturday, Sunday, they have a weekend and they want to just take their big van and just enjoy, and they miss the church. You know, in the church, Jesus said, I will build my church in the Matthew 16. And in the church, when people comes, Jesus Christ is present here. And those people who miss the church, he is going to take attendance of them. And when a school teacher take attendance when he's absent, then he gets scolding. And one day in heaven, many people will get scolding by Jesus Christ that you did not go to the church. Church is the place we come, we worship the Lord, we have fellowship with another, and Jesus Christ is exalted in the church. And you know, when we come to the church, Jesus Christ come and he put in your hug you and say, I love you. Thank you for coming to the church. I love you. I am with you. Don't worry in your problem. I will have answers to your problem. Jesus is the need for every person. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the Lord's day. It is the first day of the week. Sunday should be different day than any other day. Sunday is God's day because Jesus rose from the dead. God wants the first day of the week given to him to worship. When you worship the Sunday, when you come to the Sunday, every Sunday, first day of the week, and you attend the church, you hear the preaching, you worship the Lord, all your week, you don't have to worry about your problem. Jesus Christ goes till the Saturday, and again you feel your presence, his presence, whole week when you come regularly on Sunday. All over the world, people worship the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday. So pray for our church that we have six services in Mumbai during the week. We have a Sunday morning service in one place, Sunday evening service another place. We have Wednesday service in one place, Wednesday evening service another place. We have Friday evening in one place, and Friday morning one place, Friday evening another place. Six services. And we are praying that all those people, we can gather them on Sunday if we have a place like this, so we can all can come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants first place in your life. Jesus Christ is the first. God wants the first fruit of your income. The tithe is the Lord's. You know, in Bible, in the Old Testament, many people say, during the law, when Moses gave the law, that was the tithing. No, Abraham also tithe in the period of grace. Tithe is of the Lord. First dime of every dollar belongs to the Lord Jesus. We have robbed the God if you don't tithe. The Bible says, Pastor Ganesh not saying. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. God say, you rob me. Any man can rob God. Who is powerful than God? Nobody. But God say, you have robbed me if you don't tithe. Our over and over, Moses said to the people, tithe belongs to God. Bring the first fruit to the Lord. Your relationship with Christ is not right if you don't tithe. I want to tell you, this is not my word. I'm a great man of God who was raised in, and his name was Jachal. He said, your relationship with God is not right if you don't tithe. So I want to tell you, your one-tenth of the income is not yours. It belongs to God. You don't give that to God. It belongs to God. It is already his. You don't give a dime to God unless you give more than a tenth, one-tenth. In all you give is the tenth of your income to God, you have not given anything to God. Because that was God's. And yet, let me tell you, if you don't give that tithe to God, God knows how to take out. Maybe sickness will come, you have to pay the bill. Maybe sometimes an emergency will happen and you have to pay those bills. God knows how to take out. It's best to give for God. This church has a need. This church send missionaries, support missionaries. I am so glad this church been also given me many, many times. And I tell you, the church that support the missionary will not lack anything. They will not have lack of anything. God wants the first day of the week given to him to worship. God wants the first fruit of given to him. Because you say, some of the say, Pastor Ganesh, I cannot afford tithe. It's too much. In my church, one day, a man came to me and says, Pastor, my salary is only $100. Please pray for me that my salary, because I have a family, I have a children, and my wife and my children depend upon me. So please pray for me. And we prayed together. Within 1 month, his salary became 6,000. And he started giving 600 rupees to God. Within 6 months, his salary became 8,000. So he started giving 800 to God. Within a year, his salary became 10,000. He giving 1,000 to God. And within 2 years, his salary became 2,000. And he came to me, Pastor, I can 20,000. His salary became 20,000. Now he said, Pastor, I cannot afford 2,000 given to God. I said, no problem. Let us pray together. God, make his income like that, so he can tithe to the church. My dear friends, blessing is God's hand. I never saw, David say, I never saw the man who tithe, his children are baking for the bread. Never. A righteous is never forsaken. When you give a first income, a first one-tenth of your income to God, God is looking in your needs, and he said, I have the answers to your need. I showed you 27 books of the New Testament. Out of that, 23 books talks first verse and the first chapter is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants the first day of the week given to him for the worship. God wants the first fruit of your income given to him. God wants the first place in your life. A wise man said, shall I offer to God that which cost me nothing? It doesn't cost anything to you. There is a missionary. I'm closing. There was a missionary in Africa. And one day he was going through a walking and just praying, and he saw a big river there. And he was walking at the river. He saw one lady. She has two sons. A four-year-old son. One son was one son was scrawny, skinny, sickly. The other son was healthy, beautiful, rosy cheek baby. Both sons she has. She brought her two sons on the bank of the river. She put one son in one place, other son in another place. And what she did, there were so many crocodiles in the river. Crocodiles, you call here alligators, right? Okay, there were so many alligators in the river. This lady worshipped the river as a god. And then she turned to a healthy, beautiful, rosy cheek baby, and she worshiped him. And she put that skinny, sickly baby on this side. She worshiped. And then this missionary is looking what she's doing. And then she took that baby, healthy. And that baby was beautiful, healthy. And she took that beautiful baby and threw into the crocodile. The missionary says, stop, one minute. And by that time she thrown, and all the crocodiles and all this thing, they came and they eat that little baby. The missionary went to her and said, why you did that? And she says, sir, I don't know which God you worship, but my God deserved the best. My God deserved the best, and that's why I gave my best child to my God. And then she took that skinny and sickly baby and went in the wood. The point is this. Hidden people, they give their best to God. Haven't we given our best to our true living God? The one who loves us so much. The one who came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. The one who died on the cross. The one who rose again. And one who's alive and ready to come to your heart. And when you give the first place to him, he guarantees your family will have a joy and peace. Your work will be blessed. You will be the blessing to others. My dear friend, put Jesus first. Our God deserves the best too. First day of the week, come and worship him every Sunday, no matter what work you have. Don't miss the Sunday. Sunday is the worship day. First fruit of your income, give it to God. He has promised he shall supply all your need. Not only one need, but all your need. Philippians 4:19 says, and then first place in your life. Put Jesus first in your life. Thank you very much for listening to me, and may God richly bless you. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads at a time of prayer right now. We'll be dismissed. Our brother Ganesh has just laid it as simple as possible. That just cuts through so much. It cuts through our technology, our entertainment world, just to put Christ first in our lives. And it really comes down to a choice. I've been in Ganesh's home. I've been to these churches. This man lives what he preaches. He believes what he preaches. And I really connect with Ganesh. I think all of us do. He was a religious man, but he was empty inside. And 30-some years ago, a man told him about Jesus Christ, and it changed his life. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. He felt called to become a pastor, and he now boldly proclaims that to others. And it was a choice that he made some 30-some years ago. Have you made that choice? Have you put Christ first in your life? That's the message he had for us today. He began in Luke 4:18 to fasten our eyes on Christ. Are your eyes fixed upon Christ this morning? Have you made that choice? Are you putting him first in the week of your life, and with your money and with your job and with your family? You know, I just thinking about this thing of giving an invitation. We have an altar call. That's what this is right now, is an altar call. It's a time we just closed our eyes. We're not looking around. We're just not focusing on others. We're looking inward, and we're, you know, Christ said to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And we all feel that we're heavy laden. This world oppresses us down. It oppresses us. It's this outward pressure. And I know for me personally, in 1992, I gave my life to Christ, and I felt that extreme outward pressure of the world to conform and to try to be busy and successful and all those things, and yet I was empty inside. Maybe you're here today and you're empty inside, and in my heart I believed in God, but I never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says that as many as receive him, the same gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I did believe on his name, but I had never trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And just as I was thinking this morning, I was going to give this invitation to you after Ganesh preached to us, that I remember the story of Abraham sending his servant to get a bride for his son, Isaac. And Isaac is a beautiful type of Christ. And as he found the home of Laban and this beautiful girl, Rebekah, do you know that before she went to be with Isaac, the family said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She had to make that choice. She had to confess with her mouth and believe in her heart. And those are the prerequisite to believing in Jesus Christ. Many of us have heard and we believe, but maybe we haven't been saved because we haven't confessed the name of the Lord. And we just want to give you that opportunity right now. No one's looking around. But if that's your desire to be saved this morning, and you're not sure if you were to die today, if you'd be in heaven with the Lord, but you'd like to know, would you just lift up your hand right now? I'm the only one looking right now, and I do see one hand this morning that someone would like to receive Christ. And you know, the Bible says that, and Ganesh will like this, this Billy Graham always used to quote from Matthew. He said that if we confess him before men, that he'll confess us before the Father. But if we deny him before men, then he'll deny us before the Father. And so if that is your desire to confess and publicly accept Christ this morning, I want to invite you to come down at this time with no one looking around. This is a time for you. If you'd like to make sure of your salvation, I ask you to come forward right now. We'll have this altar open just for a few minutes here. Just in the quietness of this moment, if you'd like to come forward and make sure of your salvation, I invite you to do that right now. Is there anyone would like to do that? Just come forward right now and publicly make a profession of faith to the Lord. Anybody? Okay, well, let me close us in prayer this morning, and I'll be available afterwards, as will Ganesh and Brother Jeff. So let's just pray together, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we'll come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you for this great man of God that you sent our way. He's come 12,000 miles to speak to us this morning on this July day, and we just thank you for his life, his ministry. We pray your blessing on his family. Father, we lift up these three men. We pray for their support that he works with, that he desires to go full-time with him and do even more work in these last days. So, Lord, I pray your blessing on that. I pray you'll give him the desires of his heart. And, Father, just thank you for this time. I pray you'll bring our Pastor Brian and Randy back to us safely. And, Lord, we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I just got just a couple of announcements. We're going to have an offering. And, let's just have the ushers go ahead and take up the offering right now. If you'll go ahead and start that, and I'll just give a few announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. Somehow I think I didn't do that quite in order, so I apologize. So anyway, I know the youth left for camp yesterday. We've got about a dozen of our leaders and 20-some young folks in camp this morning. They joined forces with the New Life Baptist Church in Clinton, and there may have been one other church. I think there's 30-some, maybe 33 youth this morning, so we want to pray for our campers. Pray for it'll be good weather, hopefully, for them. And I also want to make you aware of Faith and Family Day that's coming up on the 27th of July. It's out at the Royal Stadium. And see Jeremy Bonison if you'd like to be a counselor at the Family and Faith Day at the Royals. And don't forget, Chris and Lauren are getting married. I think they're Chris and Lauren are counselors down at camp this week. So, but they are going to get married right here on July 27th. So hopefully you can be here for that. They do want us to RSVP. I never know exactly what that means, RSVP. But you got to let them know that you're going to be there because they're cooking. They're going to have a big reception. So if you can RSVP by just taking the bottom of your bulletin and put it in a black box in the Connection Center. That's how you need to respond if you're coming to the wedding on the 27th. It's at 4 o'clock right here in this church. And then the men's conference. We're having a men's conference the 16th and 17th of August. And I was telling my wife that the men, we have to have an overnight. It's a 24-hour deal. And the ladies just have like a one-day, eight-hour thing. So the men need like three times more work than the ladies, I think, is why we do that. So if you be thinking about Sonia, you don't have to agree. So, man. So we do need, anyway, if you're a man and you want to go to that, it's going to be a Three Trails camp. I think it's already up on our website that you can sign up and see the cost there. Hopefully you can make it. All right, July is kind of missionary month. We had Ganesh this morning, and next week we're going to have our sister from China. We've got a sister here from China, and she'll be speaking to us next Sunday. And then 2 weeks from today, Brother Brian Clark from London is going to be here. So anyway, the world is coming to us. So we appreciate all our missionaries. We do have bereavement. Brother Ed Bailina's wife, Jeannie, and her brother, Paul Brown, they lost their mother this week. And so please reach out to them and help comfort them at this time. And her funeral will be here in this church next Saturday, the 13th. They're having a visitation at 3 o'clock and the funeral at 4. So please come and support them. And I think that may be all my announcements. What is it? Oh, we got a video. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll say a prayer at the end. And so let's watch this video.
Here we go, heading out around the globe. Sights to see, things to know, the incredible race. Texas to Timbuktu, follow us back to a building crew. The great big story of me and you, the incredible race. We've got a whole world to see.
The incredible race.
So won't you come with me?
The incredible race. God's plans for you and me. Uncovered in history.
The incredible.
The mountain high, the valley low, carrying the gospel as we go. Sights to see and things to know, the incredible race. On the journey, it's plain to see just how different we can be. But we're all one big family, the incredible race. We've got a whole world to see,
the incredible race.
So won't you come with me,
the incredible race.
Let's stand just for a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Ganesh, why don't you go on out, Pastor, and you go out in the lobby and greet him and Pastor Jeff as you leave today, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do